I help you. Okay, it's a privilege to be back again. I just want to read a number of verses in the New Testament. I'm going to start at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're going to read some scattered verses, one or two in the Gospels, and then right through in the Epistles. And we're not going to really expound these verses, but we just want to try to get a flavour of one of the main themes of the New Testament. And the main theme that we want just to grasp tonight is the fact that you and I are part of a heavenly people. It's a great thought, isn't it, that we really don't belong down here. That we really belong. We belong to heaven. And one of the verses that we'll read really brings that before us very clearly when Paul writes to the Philippians and he says that our citizenship is in heaven. And it's from there that we look for the Saviour. Our citizenship, our politics is in heaven. So we don't really belong here. I remember years ago we used to sing a song when we were young that, you know, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And that's true, isn't it? That we really don't belong here. But that has implications for the way we live. And we're just going to read a few scattered verses and later on we'll just pick up one or two little practical points for our encouragement. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. Matthew 6 and verse number 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." John's Gospel, chapter 14. John chapter 14. These are verses that we love to return to time and time again. Wonderful promises from the lips of the Lord Jesus. Words of comfort. He says in verse 1, John 14 and verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We'll get into the epistles, and first of all, Ephesians in chapter number 1. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 1. And verse number 3. Ephesians 1 and 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." It says in verse 6 of chapter 2, "And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." Into the Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, the verse that we've already referred to. Philippians 3 and verse 20 says, "For our conversation, our politics, our manner of life, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, our body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, the next epistle, chapter 3, and verse number 1. Colossians 3 and 1, Paul writes, "If or since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. verse number 3, 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And then finally in verse 11 of chapter 2, 1 Peter, verse chapter 2 and verse 11, we read, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, I exhort you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." And we're sure the Lord will bless these scattered verses of his word to our hearts. As I say, the really thought that's before us tonight, and it's this thought that we want to be encouraged by and also challenged by, that we're a heavenly people, that we really just don't belong here. That our links are with another world, and it's to that world that we're heading, and it's from that world that we presently enjoy blessing. You know, I was thinking just a few months ago about this whole idea of being a heavenly person and being linked with a man in the glory and being looking forward to being in heaven with Christ for eternity, and thinking of my inheritance that was laid up there. And as I pondered all these things and the quietness of my own heart and the quietness of my own room, the Lord really spoke to me. And he really spoke to me in the form of a parable. And I want to share that parable with you tonight. It's a parable that hardly needs any explanation. And I trust it's a parable that will encourage your heart. The Lord really brought before me two individuals. One was a young woman, and this young woman had got herself into a position of great danger. The situation that she found herself in was one of absolute hopeless despair. She was facing certain death. There was absolutely no way that she had the strength to extricate herself from the circumstances that she was in. And suddenly, unexpectedly, there came a stranger. And at risk to his own life, he rescued her. And in the course of rescuing her, he was wounded. And he would bear for the rest of his life the marks of the wounds that he received as he rescued the stranger. As a result of that seemingly chance encounter, the young woman fell in love with the young man. Initially, she just loved him because of what he had done for her. He had saved her, he had delivered her, he had rescued her. And she loved him because of what he had done. But as the relationship grew and as the relationship deepened, she found that she loved him. Not just because of what he had done for her, but she loved him because of who he was. She loved him because of who he was. Very soon after they met and fell in love, they decided to become engaged, to be married. And he took a gold ring and he placed it on her finger as a symbol, as a sign of a covenant that had been entered into between them. That she was now his and he was now hers. An engagement, a covenant to be married. And that was all that filled that young woman's heart. That was all that filled her mind. That became the very thing that she lived for. That moment when she would be married. That moment when she would be the bride of this man that had saved her. And she longed for that day. And she looked forward to that day. And she planned for that day when she would become one with the man that saved her. But one day he brought to her some bad news. He told her that he was going away to another land. He didn't know how long he would be gone. But he did promise that one day he would return for her and take her to be where he was going. And you know, the pain of parting was only lessened with the prospect of a reunion. But the fact that she had now become parted from her beloved as she watched him go, she never forgot him. She never forgot the relationship. She never forgot the bond of affection. She never forgot the covenant that had entered in her. And every day she just longed for that day when he would come back. And she just longed for that moment when he would take her to that land to which he'd gone. Naturally, she had a little photograph of her beloved beside her bed. And every morning as she awoke from her sleep, she would look at the photograph. And she would gaze at it. And she would think, I wonder why he loved me. I wonder why he risked his life for me. And as she saw the marks, as she saw the scars on his face, the tears would drown down her face as she thought of what he suffered to rescue her. And she loved to look at that photograph. Every day she looked at it. And every day she looked back and she thought about that moment when he stepped into the circumstances of her life and he rescued her. How could she ever forget? But you know, she loved not only to look back, but she oftentimes wondered, I wonder what he looks like now. And that land to which he's gone, I wonder what he looks like now. And as time rolled by, communication would be received from that land, and he would send her another photograph, an up-to-date photograph, and she would put it again on her bedside cabinet, and there was a picture, not only of what he was, but a picture of how he was now. And she loved to gaze on that and ponder. And all the time she's longing. She's longing for that moment when she'll see him again. She's longing for that moment when she'll be with him once more. Every day she received communication from him. Every day she would go through to her little office and she would switch on her computer and she would go onto the internet and there was an email from her beloved. And she didn't just scroll down the page and caught her eye just to glance over the words. It was a communication from her beloved. And in these communications, he was expressing to her his affection for her. In these communications, he was telling her of all that he was involved in and the glories and the beauties and that wonders of the land to which he'd gone. And every time she read the communication, her heart just became more and more entwined with his, and she longed to be where he was. Not only did she receive communication from him, but she made communication to him. And she discovered that there was no burden, and there was no pressure, and there was no problem in life that was too big for him to cope with and to give her advice and to give her guidance on. And she shared the whole of her life with him. No problem that was too big. There was no detail that was too small. After all, this was the man that had risked his life for her. This was the man that she was engaged to. This was the man that she was going to spend the whole of her life with. And so she just wanted to share every detail of her life with him. She oftentimes would make research on the internet about that land to which she'd gone. And it got to the stage where she almost felt as if that she was living there. She became less and less interested with the things that pertained to her own country. After all, she was going to leave it someday. So she didn't really get involved in the politics and the commerce and the philosophies and all the rest of the things that were going on round about her. No, she was more concerned about what was happening where he was. And she almost felt as if she was already there. She found that her life was changing a little bit. She found that her company was changing. And some of the people that she used to run about with and pal with, she didn't want their company anymore. She wanted the company of those that knew her beloved.
She'd only known him for a short period of time before he had left her. And she loved to get alongside and sit in the company of those that had known him longer than she had. Those whose experience of him had been deeper, and she longed to listen as others shared their experience of him. She realized that if there was coming a day, and it could be any day when he was going to come to take her to that land, then there was things that she didn't really need. Things that she'd been used to as far as her previous life is concerned before she met him. She realized that I'm going to have to leave all these things behind someday. So what is the point of holding on to them now? And she realized there was a lot of clutter about her life. There was a lot of useless objects. Oh, if she was going to live in that land forever, then they might have been of some value, but she was only a temporary resident there. She was going to where he was. And she discovered that she was divesting herself of much about her life that was just clutter. She realized, too, that, you know, when that moment came when he was going to call her to that land to which he had gone, then she wouldn't be able to take everything with her. Things that she would need over there, she would need to send them on before. And all the time she's making preparation for that day when she's going to meet him again, and she's going to that land to which he had gone. Before he went, he told her that he'd unfinished business in that land. And although he was going away, he wanted that business to continue. And he wanted her to be involved in that business. He told her he was in the construction industry. And he wanted her to be involved in that building industry, that building business. She was a wee bit daunted about that. She'd never been involved in any business like that before, but she shared her fears with him. And her doubts and her confusion and her anxieties. And he understood. And he encouraged her. And he equipped her. And helped her to become involved in his building business in that land. That gave her a sense of purpose. While she was waiting for his return, she wasn't just idle. She now had a sense of purpose. She was working for him in that land. It gave her a sense of responsibility. It gave her a sense of dignity, a sense of honor. That she really felt that she was his representative. In that land. She wasn't just a nobody. Well, people thought that she was maybe had gone a little bit strange and since she had met this individual, but, you know, she now had a sense of purpose and responsibility, you know, and honor. She was representing him. And she loved to speak to him about the success and the progress of the building. There was times, you know, when her loyalty to him was tested. Times when she found herself in situations where very easily her love for him might have been compromised. And she was tempted. And when she was tempted, she looked at the ring. And she remembered the covenant. She remembered the engagement, the vow that she had made. She remembered that she belonged to him. And she must stay loyal. Steadfast and faithful to him. In his communications, there was many things that he asked her to do. Many of these things that she'd never really done before, they were unnatural to her. Things that even at times seemed a wee bit sort of illogical, but it was what he wanted her to do. How could she refuse? This was her beloved. This was the one that had risked his life for her. This was the one that bore the scars of what he suffered to rescue her. How could she refuse to do anything he asked her? So she never questioned when he asked her to do something. She just did it. And she did it because she loved him. She did it because she loved him. And ultimately the day came. The day that she'd been looking for, the day that she'd been living for, the day that she'd been longing for, the day came. when her beloved came for her. And after the years of passing, she stood again in his presence. And it was as if they'd never been apart. The years since he'd left her to go to that other land really just seemed to have disappeared. And it really seemed as if she'd never been out of his presence. She recognized him the moment he came. And she stood in his presence unashamed, because she had been faithful to him. And when he took her to that land to which he had gone, that land that she had been researching, that land that she'd been learning about, you know, when she got there, she wasn't really interested in the glory and the beauty and the wonders of that land. The thing that really occupied her heart was the fact that she was with him. And the years of waiting had been worthwhile, and the years of faithfulness had been worthwhile, and the years of obedience had been worthwhile. And she was now with him, and she was married to him, and she would spend the rest of her life with him in that land. Simple, isn't it? It's a love story. And that really should be the story of my life. It should be the story of your life. A love story. A love story between you and your beloved. I wonder, do we really love him? Do we really love Jesus? Easiest thing about love, isn't it? We're always singing about it. A lot of the songs that we sing, I'll talk about the hymns that we sing. A lot of them speak about our love for Christ. It's easy to sing about it. But I wonder how much do we really love him? How often do we gaze in him with longing, with yearning? As that woman would look at the photograph, looking back and seeing the scars, and wondering, why did you do what you did? Why did you step into the breach? Why did you suffer for me? You ever just sit in the quietness of your own room and just ponder, Oh Lord, why did you do it? Why did you step in? Why did you suffer such awful agony for me? No explanation for that, is there? There's no explanation for that. Apart from love. Divine love towards unworthy sinners like us. When did the tears last trickle down our face when we gazed on him and thought of the depths of his agony to rescue us from danger and death and hell? But I wonder, is there that longing in our hearts, not only to see him as he was, but to see him as he is? Well, she wasn't content with looking back. She wanted to know what he looked like now. We're linked with a man in the glory. Man that's been crowned with many diadems. One that's been given a name that's above every name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, exalted, extolled, made very high, far above all principalities and powers and heights and dominions. He sits there, unrivaled in glory. How good it is, not only to be occupied with Christ as he was, as a man on earth, but to be occupied with Christ as he is, a man in the glory. What about our communication with him? He communicates with us, doesn't he? How do we treat him? Get up in the morning and just glance our eye across a few lines or a few pages. And I confess that oftentimes that's just about my extent. But it's communication from my beloved. And in this book, he wants to reveal to me more and more of himself. and more of His glory, and more of the wonders of all that He secured for me through His sufferings in Calvary. He doesn't want me to glance through the pages, but to study them and delve into them and enjoy the wealth of His riches. He wants me to share every detail of my life with Him. He draws alongside and says, cast all your care on me because I care for you. How often we try to cope on our own, don't we? And we struggle through a stiff lip. And all the time He wants us just to bring all our problems and share all our joys. And bring all the details, speak to Him about all the details of life. That's what we do with our beloved, don't we? I'll go into this, I'll go home, and Mary will say, how did you go into the cafe? And I'll say, how did you go in the shop? And we talk about what happened throughout the day, and we share our experiences. The Lord wants us to share our experiences with Him, communicate with Him, commune with Him, be in fellowship. What about our companions? Our companions changed. She just wanted to be in the companionship of those who knew Him, who knew her beloved. They could tell her more about Him. Is that who you love to be among? To be among those who know Christ and can share with you what they've learned of Him and what they've experienced of Him. More about our lifestyle. Are we still cluttered up in life with the things that just pertain to this world? Or are we so in love with Christ? Are we so longing for His coming and waiting for His coming that we've divested ourselves of so much that is worldly and sensual and earthly and just temporal? Because we're living not for this world, but we're living for that world that is yet to come. And it's to that world that we're laying up our treasures. We're laying up treasures in heaven. Because we're going to leave everything behind one day. We're going to leave it all behind one day. Doesn't matter what we've got in the bank, or what we've got in the house, or what we've got in the garage, or what we've got down here. We're going to leave it all someday. Well, no matter that. But what we've got reserved up there. I know He's got an inheritance for us. But He also tells us that we've got to lay up our treasure there as well. Because where our heart is, there will our treasure be also. Where is our heart tonight? Is our heart in heaven? Where Christ is? And we're longing for that day when we're going to be reunited with our heavenly bridegroom in glory. What about the building? Well, Jesus is in the building business. Says to Peter, upon this rock. That wasn't Peter right now. That was the statement that Peter made, the declaration, the truth that he made. Upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Praise God. That building's still going on. He calls you and I to be part of that building process. He calls us to work and to labour for Him. And I know there's times when we get a wee bit anxious and get a wee bit fearful of being involved in Christian service. We think of the opposition. Think of the antagonism, the persecution that might come upon us when we take a stand for the Lord. He understands these fears. He understands these anxieties that we have. He wants us just to share them with Him. And He'll strengthen us. And He'll give us courage and He'll give us purpose. And He'll place within our hearts that sense of joy that we're representing Him in this earth. That's what Paul says, doesn't he? As he writes to the Corinthians in his second letter, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're representing His interests in us. We're representing the interests of heaven here on earth. What dignity! I tell you, it's a tremendous honour for any individual in this nation to be called to be an ambassador in another land. representing the interests of this country, representing the interests of the United Company in Bulgaria, Romania, United States, France, wherever it is. What a calling. What a responsibility. What a privilege. What an honour. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. To represent Him and His interests on this earth. There can be no higher calling than that. No higher honour. It's true, isn't it? There's times when He asks us to do things that just seem maybe a wee bit illogical. Things that go against our natural way of thinking. But you know, if we really love Christ, whatever He asks us to do, we'll just do it, won't we? Unquestioningly, unhesitatingly. He tells us in His Word how He wants us to live, the things He wants us to do and the things He doesn't want us to do. And oftentimes we turn to the Word of God and the Word of God hits us and the Word of God chastises us and we try to wriggle out of it. And oftentimes we're willful disobedient and disobedience. But if we really love Christ, if we really love living as His ambassadors and really longing for His coming, then whatever He asks us to do, we'll just unhesitatingly do it out of love for Him. I'm looking forward to that day when He's going to come again. Well, there'll be times when we're going to be tempted. There's times when we'll find ourselves in situations when it would be so easy to be compromised. Times when our love, our affection is being drawn away from Him to other things. And we think of that world out there. And I tell you, there's a lot of temptations, a lot of allurements in that world. There's a world system out there that's lying in the lap of the evil one, and he seeks to draw our affections away from Christ to the things of the world. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And you know, when we're tempted to love the world and the things of the world, we need to remember the ring. We need to remember the covenant. We need to remember the vow that we have made with Him. That we have sworn allegiance to Him. We have declared our love for Him. We have declared our oneness with Him. We look forward to that moment when we'll be married to Him. And therefore, with that prospect of being married to Him and being one with Him, we remain loyal and faithful to Him in our affections as we live on this earth. When the moment came when she saw Him, she immediately recognized Him. I wonder if when we see Him, will we recognize Him? Will it be as if we've never been parted from Him? Will it be as if we've spent every moment of our life with Him in His presence? And that really when He comes for us and takes us to heaven, it will almost be as if there hasn't been any change. A change in geography, but no change in experience. Because here and now we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And we've been seated in the heavenlies with Christ. And all that's there for us to enjoy here and now. We should be living in the constant enjoyment of Christ. Remember Paul, he speaks about, for me to live is Christ, he says. He says, to die is gain. He says, really, he said, to die, he says, it's just more of Christ. Just more of Christ. It's just Christ in a more fuller way. It's Christ in a more deeper way. He says, to die, he says, it's just more of Him. And that for eternity. And you know, when that moment, when He did come, you know, she was unashamed before Him. The Bible speaks, doesn't it, about the possibility of being ashamed before Him at His coming. And you know, we look back over the day and I just wonder, has there been moments in my life this day when if the Lord Jesus had come just at that time, I would have been ashamed. Look back over the last week. Have I been engaged in things and been places and saying things? And if the Lord had come just then, oh, the shame that would have filled my heart. Oh, just to live moment by moment in the conscious awareness that at any time our beloved could come to take us to be with Himself forever. Dear saint of God tonight, I trust that a little meditation might have been an encouragement to us, and yet at the same time might be a challenge to us, that we have been bought with a price, that we are not our own. We live, we die to God alone. Paul says concerning the death of the Lord Jesus, in Galatians 1 and verse 4, he says, He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age. That's not a future deliverance. That's not the deliverance that we'll experience at the rapture when Christ comes for His church. That's a present deliverance. He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us, rescue us, separate us from this present evil age. We don't belong to this age. We don't belong to this world. We belong to heaven. We're citizens of heaven. Our politics, our conversation, our manner of life is from heaven. Praise God, it's from there that we look for the Saviour. May God give us grace, give us courage, strength, just to live in order to fulfill heaven's interests up on earth. Let's just pray. Now, gracious, loving God and Father, we just thank Thee for this time when we've been able to gather around Thy Word, and just to gather around the lovely person of the Lord Jesus, and just to meditate upon Him, and to meditate upon the relationship that we have with Him, and the prospect of one day seeing Him face to face, and being with Him, and being like Him forever and ever and ever. We thank Thee, O God, that every one of us are destined for a marriage. We thank Thee, O God, that we're part of the bride of the Lord Jesus. And there's that day, O God, in heaven when we're going to be married to Him. The marriage supper, the marriage of the Lamb, and the marriage supper of the Lamb, when all the friends of the bridegroom will be gathered around to share with Him and to share with His bride in the great joy of marital bliss and marital union. We thank Thee, O God, that all that, the blessings that were going to be ours in the day to come, and all the blessings that we can presently enjoy in the heavenly places, have all been secured for us through the sufferings and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. We thank Thee, O God, for one who not only risked His life for us, but one who laid down His life for us. One that gave Himself for our sins. One, O God, that loved us and loved us to the very uttermost. We thank Thee, O God, again for the reality of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And we thank Thee, O God, for the fruit of His passions, the fruit of the travail of His soul. And we thank Thee, O God, there's coming a day when He will be satisfied. And we praise that every blood-bought child of His likewise will be satisfied when we awake in His likeness. And so, our Father, for this time together, we just give thanks, and for the refreshments too. Bless them too as we pray in Jesus' name.